Rick Mills is curator of the South Dakota State Railroad Museum in Hill City. He presents Yesterday and Today, Railroading in the Land of Infinite Variety, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the historic 1906 Fort Pierre Depot Museum. He joins us now with more. Rick Mills, welcome to In the Moment.
Good morning, Lori.
I was looking on your website and talking about sort of this mythology of rail travel through the state and across the nation, and I can tell that you love your job.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I've been very blessed to have this position for almost 7 years now. It's a great job, not only for myself, but it's a great way to tell folks about South Dakota. And there's so many things with railroading that are tied to South Dakota's railroading history and its culture. So it's a fantastic job to have.
Is it, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, but is it different than other states? Is it particularly unique in a certain way, or is this the story of railroads in America?
Well, there's a lot of commonality about railroading history in the United States, but in South Dakota there were so many different unique things that happened with railroading that maybe didn't happen in other ways in other states, but you know, there was a lot of differences between, say, the prairie railroading of the eastern part of the state versus the lumber and the mining railroading here in the Black Hills. But there are just so many other things that were unique as far as the development of our communities based on where the railroad lines were built. There were things that happened specifically because of the railroads in the political history here in South Dakota that just didn't happen in other areas. So the railroads influenced the state in a lot of different ways.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that political history. First, tell me a story about how the railroads and that conversation impacted South Dakota politics or vice versa.
Probably the most obvious one was happening during the 1904 state capitol fight between Mitchell and Pierre to determine the final place where the capitol would be located. Both the railroads that were involved, the Chicago and Northwestern on behalf of its hometown of Pierre, and then the Milwaukee Railroad's candidate in Mitchell, did a lot to really promote in a lot of different ways the two communities, from putting together special trains where they would bring hundreds of prospective voters to their communities to lobby them to vote for their community. Of course, the railroads were looking at it from an economic standpoint. Whichever town had the final location for the capital would be a very prominent point in the state. A lot of economic benefits, a lot of political perks for the railroads. So in the end, Pierre won the popular vote, and that was the part of the railroad history that was important to the Northwestern. And what they did is they said, we are going to really make a prominent point of doing some things here in Pierre that they didn't in other communities. But in another way, the Milwaukee Railroad said, well, you know, if we didn't get the vote in Mitchell, what we're going to do is we're going to complete our line across western South Dakota to connect East River with the Black Hills. Hmm. And they started building. Then the Northwestern started building from Pierre to Rapid City, and it became a race that actually kind of finished up the homesteading boom between 1910 and 1916 in the western part of South Dakota and opened up a lot of the areas around Midland, Phillip, Murdo, even in down into Winter in that area, homesteading. So it had a lot of other ramifications.
Now, Rick, it seems to me that our state is particularly, it's an opportunity to have rail service, passenger rail service. Still, one of my great dreams is a train that runs across the river now, because that's a long drive. I'd love to just check out on a train and enjoy a little rail travel. How come? When did we lose our passenger service?
Well, Lori, you're not the only one that's ever asked me that question.
Yeah.
You know, it's there, and the long answer or the short answer to a long question is money.
Right.
In 1970, when the National Passenger Service was put into place, Amtrak, to preserve rail traffic across the country, you had to buy into the to the system. And South Dakota at that time was one of three states that did not. And a lot of it was simply economics. Now, would I love to be able to get on a train in Rapid City in the evening and be in Sioux Falls the next morning? You're darn right I would.
Yeah, but, I'd pay for that.
It comes down to money.
Right. I suspect you're right. How about
that? It's sad because, you know, the South Dakota is one of two states in the lower 48 right now that does not have Amtrak service.
Interesting. Huh. What's the cultural impact of the railroad and being built, from everything from who built it to who traveled along it?
Well, you know, it's just there are so many different ways that the railroad has impacted our culture over the decades. You know, I like to say that it's the good, the bad, and the ugly, really, when we talk about railroading in South Dakota. There are so many fantastic benefits, obviously economic and social. But then if you look at the other side of the coin, there are a lot of things that railroads did that certainly did not help some of our business ventures, some of our families, in the different cultures. You can go back to even looking at how the different railroads in the High Plains helped to decimate the buffalo herds. It's such a far-ranging question that there's no one really good answer, but you have to really take a look at it from all different directions, because somebody that, you know, only remembers it from their family made a wonderful living by, you know, being a railroad employee over the decades, or how they were even came out here and were, you know, considered homesteading, was because of the railroads. Well, that had the other side of the coin too, where the railroading angle did not benefit certain parties too.
Right. So what's your focus for your conversation tomorrow night in Fort Pierre?
Well, you know, it's neat, and I want to thank the South Dakota Humanities as well as the South Dakota State Historical Society Foundation for sponsoring this talk. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the books that have been written about different railroads in the state, how they've influenced certain communities. Tomorrow night, obviously, we'll be talking a little bit more about Pierre and Fort Pierre, because the program is at the Fort Pierre, what we call the Fort Pierre Museum. It's the old Chicago Northwestern Depot there that's been restored, and it's just a fantastic location to have a talk. I'm really excited about that. But we're going to also be looking at some photos that our museum just purchased from the Denver Public Library, that we're going to be doing kind of a neat before and after book that I'm writing on behalf of the South Dakota State Railroad Museum, that will be published later this year, talking about different railroad photos that have been shot between the 1920s and 1950s around the state of South Dakota. And what we're doing is we're actually going out and reshooting a lot of these locations, what they look like today. Some of them have trains on them. Some of them, the rails have been gone for decades. So we're just showing kind of how things have changed. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of these cultural, economic, and political things that have happened because of the railroads, and in some cases, by the loss of the railroads.
You can learn more about South Dakota railroad history from Rick Mills. That's Tuesday, April 11th at 7 p.m. Central Time. Yesterday and today, Railroading in the Land of Infinite Variety is hosted by the historic 1906 Fort Pierre Depot Museum with support from the South Dakota Humanities Council. Rick, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Laura.